Hello and welcome to the Digital India Podcast. I'm your host, Mohammed Ujale. In today's episode, we are speaking with one of the most influential names in India's smartphone industry, Mr. Madhav Seth. You may know him as the former CEO of Realme India, where he helped transform the brand into a household name. Today, Mr. Madhav is back with a bold new vision as the CEO of EdTech India and now leading the charge of Next Quantum Shift Technologies, where he has launched the AI Plus smartphone powered by the brand new Next Quantum operating system. In this episode, Mr. Madhav opens up about what it takes to build and scale major smartphone brands in India, the critical role of deep technology and R&D, and why a strong local supply chain is essential for India's digital self-reliance. We also explore how AI is shaping consumer experience, his plans to democratize technology through transparency and localization, and what it really means to build a global brand from India for the world. So whether you are a technologist, a startup founder, or simply curious about the future of a smartphone and innovation in India, this episode is packed with insight you would not like to miss. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. First of all, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to interview you. Let me begin by asking you something. You are somebody who built major brand in India, and both of them went to extent where they have a huge market share, especially in consumer electronics. What has been the learning from that particular period, and what is something that you are trying to imbibe into new efforts that you are doing?
So very good question, and I thank you very much for inviting me on your podcast. And I would say one thing, that the brands which I have built, the one of the key foundation for any brand has been something which is the foundation for what deep tech is required in India right now. It's about the supply chain. To build a proper value supply chain in India is the key foundation understanding. Something which has not been seen above the ground, but it becomes the foundation pillar for the brand. To ensure to build a stronger supply chain for your brand, to ensure that probably the willingness to supply, your supplier's willingness to supply to you, because one of the key aspects for you. For you, as we would require more than 3,000 components over here,
right,
to build a smartphone. While you'll be working with multiple suppliers, building a strong supply chain and the value chain is extremely key component aspect. This is the biggest learning. And the learning is a very good thing, which the question which you asked was, these Chinese brands have invested deep into this deep techs,
correct,
on R&D. That's the reason they were successful. It was not only because I have built a brand.
But
the reason for this brand being successful was also because the foundation pillar of being an R&D company and investing more into R&D was one of the biggest key pillar for the success. If you just become a brand and just do marketing, you are just white labeling.
Right.
And white labeling will not give you sustenance. So if you really want to build up a brand, you need to invest in the detail. You need to invest into your futures, which is your R&D. And expect that probably this is the way your investments have been nurturing over a period of next 5 to 10 years. If you're looking for a long-term sustainable company, this has been my key learning from the Chinese company, and this has been extremely good learnings. The reason, because these companies have always, many companies from the tech, it may come in now from China or Japan or US, they have invested deeply into R&D. They have deeply invested into designs, into IPs. This has been the foundation for the brand successes in the future.
I think you very rightly said that the major focus has been in terms of the R&D investing in a deep thing. And when I look at your new proposition via Next Point, you have so much focus on AI, and broadly if you look at the market in India, I mean, there are companies of different sizes, different sector, they are actually trying to utilize some way or the other in their product innovation, but most of the conversation in a real sense is happening around marketing plus real deployment on the ground level. You will see those are not the kind of that you would like to see in terms of hardcore deployment. So how you are trying to differentiate? I mean, you very rightly mentioned that deep tech on those things are in are important.
See, I'll tell you one thing. Again, a very good question. Most important thing, which I have always figured out in the last 2 decades of my industry experience, people don't only connect with the product. People also connect with the values of the brand. And the values of the brand has always been top-down, breaking down. In the sense, it's always about how does the leader think and how does the people down
right, think? Right.
And value of your brand and value of your company gets translated into the product also.
Yes.
Let me talk about the few values on the AI plus smartphones and the next quantum OS we are trying to build. Mm-hmm. It's all about transparency. Transparency is one of the key values what we are trying to do. Democratization is one of the key values for what we want to do. Transparency in how your data will be used should be given to the consumer.
Okay, yeah.
AI plus smartphone does not pay any royalties to the outside of the country. Mm-hmm. And the benefits been transferred to the consumers.
Okay.
This is all transparency, democratization,
mm-hmm.
ensuring that probably there's a governance into it, ensuring that probably India gets benefit out of it. These are the value systems, which is like the similar fundamental of the supply chain, which are not been seen by the consumers and cannot be felt by the fancy marketing, but be experienced by the product over a period of time.
Right.
That's how it is.
So from a supply chain perspective, what are the components of that particular journey you are trying to build within India? At what level things are?
See, I'll tell you what. Domestic value addition, we call it DVA. Domestic value addition will happen over a period of time. The four major components of building a smartphone, while we are trying to build AI plus smartphones in India, the four major components are chipset, camera, displays and fabrications around it. You will not be able to do it because there are no fabricators in India, which covers up around 50 to 60% of the time. While we are currently doing a DVA of around 10 to 12%, my target is to bring this DVA. If there's a brand in India, what I've seen is the component ecosystem will only follow where the origin of the company. If the origin of the company is in India, the component ecosystem will start following up over there. And if that brand is stronger over there,
right,
the entire component ecosystem will fall apart in period. Like say for example, Apple. Apple made a component ecosystem in China. The entire component ecosystem, all the suppliers,
right,
builds the factories in China for Apple. So it is always the brand who needs it, the where the component ecosystem will be.
Right.
It is never about a component ecosystem deciding where he wants to put it. It's always about the decision of the brand where he wants to build that complete ecosystem on.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be only led by the compliances. It should be led by the intent of the brand.
Right.
The intent of the industry. So I always used to say government should not be only catalyst, or government should not be only the one who should be pushing for this particular agenda of localization. It should be industry also who should be pushing for it. So why did the current industry do it when there's none of the Indian brands into it? So the point is they don't need it unless it's governed by a law. So hence mentioning that particular value system, that probably where the brand is, where the values is, and then where the brand is, where the component ecosystem will be forced to move on over a period of time. It depends on how stronger the brand is.
Yes.
Over a period of
time. Yes. I mean, you see, the government has certain policy. If you look at PLI, then you have ESDM policy, which promote electronic manufacturing.
Mm.
There have been efforts also on the fab mod. As somebody who is a technologist as well as in a leadership role, from a policy perspective, do you see that we as a country can do certain things wherein we can have certain a kind of impetus into our journey of making India kind of thing?
I think what we are doing is right now. The reason is because you have to understand and go back to the history of other countries where how they became the electronic exporters country. Let's say for example, Vietnam. Vietnam started back in 1970s when the first initiation was taken over. It took them 45-50 years to reach what they are today. It is not overnight. It takes time to build it. And always the first step and always the first few steps are the most difficult ones. So I would say somebody has to take their first step. It's not about being right or being wrong. It's about taking the first step and it's a marathon. And we have to walk through that.
Mm-hmm.
Take China. It took them 30-35 years to what they are today.
Absolutely.
Take Japan from 1950 to 1980s. Mm-hmm. They took 30 years to do that. From Japan to China, the technology transfer happened from 80s to 2000.
Right.
It took decades to get into this. Two or three decades to get into that. But India will be faster because India has got a human capital and a government intent. The only lacking or only thing you said lacks is the industry. Industry support over here. And industry has to take initiative. The only drawback which I see, there's no Indian players into it who wants to take the initiative of doing it. Or no foreign players will take initiation because their domiciliation is not
correct.
Or loyalty towards the country.
Why there is no Indian company? Is it because of the entry barrier, the fund needed?
There's no entry barrier. There's nothing about that. It's about the proposition of the mindset of being a brand. Let me put it that way. What is happening in 2014 is similar things. What I can see is happening in some of the industry today, even in electronics, back in 2024, which is white labeling. Bringing it, making it in India, showing it making in India, but you are just importing and labeling it. But this brand, if you see, everybody can do it. And they are not able to sustain. Sustainness will only happen once you have that thought process of investing into the right technology.
That's how. Now, coming back to these smartphones, can you let me know what segment we are targeting and what is the value proposition that we are trying to see?
I'll be trying to, first of all, you need to understand one thing. I'll be saying, targeting consumers below 10K, which are around currently 60 or 55 to 60% of the India market. Let me address the first pain points on the consumers. They're probably from 2G to 5G. There's a huge gap. How can I bridge that particular gap? So let me divide the India market with the price points. Up to 10,000 is more than 50%. Up to 15,000 is 70-75%. And above 15,000 to 20,000, because of the affordability, the market has grown. From 15 to 25,000 is about 15%. And above that is 10%.
Okay.
So if the market above around 15,000 is 70% of the market, let me target the first 50% of it. Let me get into masses where even if I fail, I have the less failure chance. That is where I am going.
So now you are going with a Flipkart, I believe.
I'm not only going with Flipkart, I'm going with Flipkart, I'm going with Flipkart Minutes, I'm going with Shopsy, and I'm going with direct to retail for 10,000 retailers directly across India.
So what is the long-term strategy we are looking at? Because we saw, especially in the, I mean, whenever a company is start, either you become a bigger or somebody buys you, or either you fail. So what is the long-term strategy you are looking at?
The long-term strategy, if I have to look at this, is to invest deeply into R&D, have the patient capital behind me to invest into R&D, ensuring that probably I build a brand from India, scale it up globally, and try to bring the value chain and get a DVA. At least 25% over a period of time.
Right. That's the longest. And what is the team size right now in terms of function and role, how they are scattered?
Currently, the major roles, if I would say the GTM would be around only around 8 or 10 people. Rest of the people are all from the R&D side, which are around 30 people. So currently, our team size is around 40.
Correct. And what is the outlook for future down the line, let's say after launching this particular product
next month? Scaling up people is very easy. Scaling down is difficult. So let me grow the business. Let me scale the business. I'll scale the people accordingly. It's very easy to say in a podcast that I'll hire more than 1,000 people.
Yes.
Currently, I may be employing 1,000 people through agencies.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Through indirect resources, not a direct one. But probably if I have to say it, I'll align it with my clear vision of my revenues over a period of time.
Correct.
I also want to ensure that probably as scaling up would be required, I'll be scaling up the manpower also.
Correct. I'm going back to the technology part again. He spoke about the AI, and we see there are a lot of things happening, and which is at the nascent stage in AI, and brands like Apple and all, they have started actually doing that. I mean, they have a partnership with ChatGPT, and they are Copilot and all, they are inventing. What is your general assessment in what direction things are moving in terms of the content management with their small devices?
I'll tell you, AI has become a marketing jargon right now. People are not aware of the use cases. A lot of people are not aware of the use cases. While the base fundamental, if somebody is using a smaller device, is Google.
Right.
They are not able to figure out that particular thing. The most important point for the AI is not about just artificial intelligence. What I believe that how AI can help you, rather than AI can take over all of this, should technology for me has always been a thing which can simplify your day-to-day life.
Precisely.
Not take away your life. There's a difference between both.
Absolutely.
It has to simplify. And that simplification has to be there. Say, for example, if there's a certain task which you do it for 5 minutes, now it can be done in 30 seconds. It saves you 4.5 minutes of your day. That's what the technology should be doing. But that does not mean that human should be redundant. Human capabilities should be better utilized over a period of. So it has to be an applied intelligence with ensuring that probably there's a human intervention there. So I believe it definitely will help. At the same time, it has to be ensuring that probably does not remain as a marketing jargon for a lot of brands. It becomes useful in terms of resources for a lot of companies. While what we are trying to do is to connect with a lot of Indian local LLMs to integrate with our, like say for example, with our keyboard. So, you know, they can integrate with a lot of languages across other keyboards and they can use it in their local language with the ChatGPT. So a lot of this type of interventions which we are trying to figure it out.
Right.
And things has to be made it simplified. That is what we have to do.
Have you ever interacted with the startups ecosystem of our country? How has been your experience?
I am myself a startup.
So what is your assessment in terms of the kind of work that we have been doing, especially in the deep tech?
There are two things which I have assessed about the startup in today's team. Nobody is investing in deep tech. That's point number one. Point number two, I believe the founders, even if they want to invest, they don't have the patient capital. Point number three, the investors, what they are getting in. It's all, I say, it's race to bottom rather than race to top. So I think once they get into that race of burning, investors will get a healthy exit because of the good top line, but a bad bottom line. But founders will be left with a company like a headless chicken if they have to ensure that their company is sustained. I'm talking about sustainable. I'm not saying that everybody is doing that. This is my thought process at this point of time. These are the three things which I find at the start of the
research. One last thing, especially the number of devices that we are aiming to push into the market initially. Do you have a certain numbers in your mind that you are looking?
Aim, I don't aim for anything. I have a very clear goals. I have a goal that I'll be selling around at least about 2 million devices in this first 6 months. I have to sell it. I have to bring the economies of scale. That's very clear. Gaming is something which is still like you are indecisive. You're just thinking of it, dreaming of it. I'm very clear, but if I do not sell 2 million devices, I will not get economies of scale. And if I want to compete in this industry, which is the huge market, which is a TAM of around 5 lakh crore rupees, and a 115 trillion asset, I have to bring the economies of scale. To do that, I need to have a very clear goal of 2 million at least devices in the first 6 months. Suppose that I'll be having a different goals. That's how I'm going to find it.
Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Pleasure is all mine. Thank you very much.